This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Dear Jake and Joelle, I've got some problems and I might need some help. I hope you can solve them in a bit of a stitch. Need help from the pinch. No one will know who I am. No one will give a damn about me. If I were you, the podcast baby. If I were you, the podcast baby starts now.
Epic tune. Same, because we love Wheatus.
Did they have any other songs but Teenage Dirtbag Baby?
They didn't need one. They could release that a million times and it would be my favorite band. You guys, that is from Shane Cameron, day one fan and Patreon subscriber. This is my band, Strong Persuaders, which is a parody of Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus. We know. He says, if you end up using this song, it'd be awesome if you plugged our album, Songs from Last Night, available on Apple Music and Spotify. So check out Strong Persuaders and their album, Songs from Last Night. Okay, check them out.
I usually read that emails that come in, like, and I take the lead on that usually.
Right. So, and what's happening now? Because I feel like your watch has ended, as it were. I feel like you've been phoning it in almost since episode one, frankly. So
phoning it in for 6 years, I've been phoning it in. So what do you know is my maximum effort if you think I've been phoning it in for the entire run?
I don't know what your maximum effort is, but I can tell you that you haven't even come close to reaching it. So I think I'm gonna take over. I'm gonna take charge here as the host.
Okay.
You'd pass the mantle to moi. All right.
Okay.
So I'll be hosting this episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by me, Jake Hurwitz.
And me, I'm Amir.
All right, nice. That was pitch perfect. I mean, it's a little low energy,
don't
but I feel like
me,
it's already...
Because you're the host doesn't mean you should be like giving me notes throughout.
I'm not going to give you any more live critique. I won't give you any more live critiques. I just wanted you to... I wanted to flag an issue that felt a little low energy.
Okay,
but
flag it.
It's not a big deal because I feel like this podcast right now is already leaps and bounds better than any other one that we've done. Just
3 minutes
from
in.
A pure hosting standpoint.
Yeah.
I think it's a really strong episode. So despite your best effort, you little bitch, you won't be able to ruin
it.
All right.
God. You think I'm trying to sabotage this? I like that you did a little bit more work. It's if anything, it's freeing me up to be a little funnier.
Should we get right into it then?
Why are you asking
me? I just like
me?
To keep the show moving along is all.
Yeah.
I prefer to keep the show moving.
So do it. Move it. Don't say you prefer to keep it moving. Actually move it. Saying that you prefer to keep the show moving along, humming along,
okay,
doesn't actually keep it moving.
I want there to be a little bit of less of like a like a he said thing, and more of just like a yes, if you could yes and me.
Sure.
That would help me host.
Yeah.
Because hosting's actually pretty fucking hard. Okay.
I know. Yes, I know. We're almost at episode 400, and I've kind of taken the reins on all of them. Yeah. So don't tell me
it's actually a little difficult. So if you could work with me, that'd be really friggin' helpful.
By the way, if it's hard for you so far, then maybe it's a little bit too much for you, because I don't
It's not hard for me. It's not hard at all. I'm just in over my head.
Yeah. It sounds like it's hard.
Okay, well, I had to find a freaking theme.
Oh, shit.
I had to find a theme song and the questions.
Okay.
Okay, so, and now, if the least you could fucking do is come up with a name for a lady, okay?
A lady name.
A lady name.
Okay, let's call this lady, Lady, like from Lady and the Tramp.
Okay, that was, it's a little lazy, but fine, that's good, that's great.
Fine, fucking Amelia Earhart.
Nice. That's a historical reference. Can we do something with more of a pun?
A pun off what?
I don't fucking know.
A pun off what?
I don't know. I'm trying to host. I'm trying to keep the show moving.
Fine.
I just need you to... Okay?
Rapunzel.
A pun on the word pun.
Yeah.
That was actually fucking epic, and I really appreciate it.
When you're mad and when you're happy, you display the same level of angst. Like, calm down.
I am calm. I'm just a little nervous to be hosting is all.
Don't say I am happy. I'm just a little angry. I am calm. I'm just a little nervous. You're not calm and you're not happy then. You're nervous and you're angry.
Listen, I'm good. Okay. I'm freaking out just a little because I've never hosted before and I want to do a good job.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But I'm fine. I'm just having a little bit of a meltdown on the day.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Another panic attack.
God. All right. Rapunzel writes.
You're vibrating.
Dear, that's right. Dear Ace and Jocelyn, recently I went on a great first date with this guy I met on Hinge. He's 26, hot and confident. We ate lobster fries and talked for hours about a good mix of personal and stupid shit. Needless to say, I felt very connected to him. So after a few drinks and some kissing, we went back to his place. Unfortunately, the sex was really bad. Feel free to skip the details. I will not be skipping the details. But I just want to clarify that this is not a case of mismatch preferences. Here's a couple bullet points for what this gentleman did wrong.
Yeah, I'm just curious what bad sex, because I've never had it, so it'd be interesting to hear what she says it is.
Okay, so this you might be having bad sex if he didn't know what a clit is and kept sticking his tongue in my vagina.
Okay.
He had no rhythm or fluid motion. Mm. Like he would go from a slow jog to a sprint and back every 10 seconds. When I got on top to take control, he kept shoving his hips up randomly, almost throwing me off each time.
Huh.
Usually I'm really honest with a person about why I don't want to go on a second date. So should I tell this guy the only reason I don't want to see him again is his terrible sexual performance? He's 26 and attractive, so I feel like someone should tell him what he's doing wrong. Otherwise, this will just keep happening to other women. He's already hit me up twice, but I stalled by telling him I have strep throat. Cough, cough. Thanks for your help, Rapunzel.
Oh, interesting. I never thought of sex so much of like as a rhythm dancing thing. Maybe that's why dancing well is such an aphrodisiac.
I see.
Like if so you can dance well, you have good rhythm, and then it exudes sexual confidence because it's sort of the same skill set.
This is like a verbatim line from Lonely and Horny Season 2, where I think I say, if you can move... Oh, no, Jeffrey James says it. If you can move on the dance floor, you can move in the bedroom.
That's right. That is correct.
It does seem kind of like that, but it almost even like having good like rhythm and moves is one thing, but like just having no rhythm in sex almost feels like another, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's all, I guess it's all under the same umbrella of movement and rhythm and cadence. It's like knowing when, and when you're doing it with a partner, adjusting accordingly.
Right, but I don't think it's about like, you know, doing things on a beat or keeping good time. It's more about like reading social cues, and like if you're jackhammering, that's not necessarily good to go jackhammer and then like slow it down. Jackhammer, slow it down, you know?
Yeah. So I want, if
like
it's
you have
not
to build to stuff like that.
If it's not dancing, then what is the best indicator of sexual performance?
I feel like, I don't know.
Is it SAT score?
It's obviously not SAT score, and you only asked because I know you got a perfect math.
I mean, if you think about it, if you know geometry, you know sex.
If it was SAT score related, it would absolutely be likened to verbal, I think.
If anything, it's an inverse relationship.
That's possible, too.
I wonder, if you can dance well, that's a good harbinger. If you're funny, that's probably good. Yeah. Improv?
I think so, because timing. And it's weird because she said she had a good conversation, and they had a connection, which I would feel like is also really important just in terms of, like, you sort of get a sense of, like, if something's going well or not, being able to read the room.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. It's like performing / rhythm.
It is very performative.
For an audience of one, or if you're lucky, 10, or if you're really lucky, 1,000-person orgy-style venue.
I think it almost starts to have diminishing returns at that point.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do when you nut and you're in the middle of 1,000-person orgy? You have to leave.
You have to excuse yourself. Back of the train with me.
I have to get to the bathroom and everyone's sucking and fucking in front of me.
I'm slipping and sliding on the cum. I can't even get my fucking bearings straight.
Stop groping me for a moment. I have to get a cum rag.
Can we 86 the strobe lights? This orgy is disorienting.
But the real question, aside from, you know, how do you know if you're bad at sex, is should she tell this guy that she doesn't want to see him because the sex was bad?
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have to give him an excuse. She could just say, hey, I don't think we should see each other anymore. I just didn't think we clicked. The question is, does she then go above and beyond and say, by the way, going forward, I can save you a lot of heartache by telling you this honest little nugget?
Yeah. It would be a selfless thing. That's the weird thing, that it's like she's doing a service to future women if she's like, you're bad at sex, you should work on it. But I also wonder if it's like too mean.
Yeah, if anything, she's doing a cervix to future women.
That was a good pun, but it wasn't any advice. So you're going to have to really step it up here.
Okay, here's the actual advice. If you want to give him the advice, but have it not seem like it came from you, you wait a year and then write him an anonymous email or note.
I would hate to get something like that.
You don't know who I am, but we had sex sometime in the last decade. That's right, you keep it vague. That way he doesn't blame you, but he takes your notes to heart.
I think if you're worried about hurting his feelings, that would probably hurt them the max.
Oh, more so than, by the way, I'm not interested and this is why, coming from me?
Yeah, because if somebody says that, like if he's hell-bent on not letting this get to him, he could be like, oh, like that, we didn't click sexually, but I'm still good. Not like, you'll have him questioning his entire last 10 years of having sex.
Yeah.
If you're doing it anonymously. I feel like that's giving him way too much of a complex.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he might not be untrue. Like, it does take two to tango. Having rhythm with a partner can't entirely be on one person.
These three bullet points all sound pretty bad, especially the sort of like random hip gyrating.
Yeah.
But depending on like who you're having sex with, there are people that might prefer it.
Right. Yeah. And not knowing what a clitoris is isn't good.
Well, it's not like he doesn't. I'm sure he knows. I guess he ignored it. Maybe he knew and didn't care. He felt like vaginal penetration with his tongue was the key.
So would you, I guess as the guy, would you want to hear this? Would it be? You wouldn't want to hear it, but would it be overall good for you?
Yeah, I don't know, because I've definitely had bad sex before, and like known it was my fault. There's a decent chance that he's like, man, I didn't do a good job that time.
Yeah.
So I think that's possible. I feel like, is it crazy to say that? It's really rare to meet people you like on the dating apps, and even though the sex was bad, it might be worth like learning somebody's rhythm and like working with him. Like the best way to make him better at sex is that you guys keep having sex. So like if you like him a little bit and you want him to get better at sex, you guys continue having sex and you can shape him to your ideal sexual partner. Or just cut and run. Say the strep throat killed you and never talk to him again. That would be my advice.
I think I'm too far gone in this strep throat. It's taken my entire body.
By the way, I think I got it from you. Bye.
You should learn what a clitoris is.
Thank you, Rapunzel. Let's go on to our next question.
Okay.
Amir, I am going to need a lady's name.
A lady's name?
Yes, another lady.
Another woman, we'll call her...
I'm going to need you to like... Do you know what I mean? Because like when I say I need a name, you got to hit me with a name. Because otherwise it's like, I feel like this... We're walking on a tightrope. In a way,
yeah,
this train's
I have one.
On the tracks and it's teetering.
I have
and it's
one.
Like anything, any little slow bump, any time that we spend discussing and dissecting.
I got one.
This episode.
Yeah.
Just hold on 1 second because I just want you to know that like delaying it by not being able to come up with a name.
Jasmine.
Actually really, Jasmine, that's perfect. I was just going to say that it Jasmine. Fucks me a little bit.
You don't
bit
have to say
host.
Anything because I already gave you the
okay.
name.
All right, we're going to use Jasmine.
Great.
But I just want you to know moving forward that I need that name. Like,
don't need to narrate. So just need to host. You don't have to narrate.
I'll edit this part out, okay?
You won't. You're not editing. I'm still going to edit.
All right, well, fine. You'll edit this part out. I'm just saying it might behoove us.
I want everybody to know exactly what it was like dealing with this.
Leave it in. Fine. Fuck it. Leave it in. Okay? I don't give a shit. But just come up with 3 more names just in case we get to more questions so you like hit me with them right away.
Sure. Because
there's a lot resting on the shoulders of the host.
I don't think so.
And I feel like I'm going to crash and burn if you don't help me out just a little bit. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Jasmine writes, "Hi guys, longtime listener who really wants to go to a live show in San Francisco." That's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
"I'll get to the point. My dad got diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer a couple of months ago. Although this was, of course, not great news to receive, things were going relatively okay and that we had a plan for him to go to chemotherapy and then get surgery if he's eligible after the chemo. This is where the story really gets fucked. He has an idiot friend from France who's made a lot of money on bullshit nutrient supplements. This idiot started emailing him that the chemo is killing him and that he should not get the surgery. Parentheses, his only real chance of survival, but instead go on a ketogenic diet to cure his cancer. We didn't expect this, but my dad drunk the Kool-Aid. Him and my mom, a licensed physician, have been fighting constantly as she knows that a diet will not cure his cancer and his stupid friend is preying on an ill person. My dad, for some reason, will not listen to her, me, or his other smart, caring friends that agree with us. Do you have any advice on what we should do or how we could possibly convince him? Is having cancer an excuse to be a total dick to the people who love you and are trying to help? Sorry for the long email. Thanks for listening. Toda, Jasmine."
Jeez.
This one's serious. When I host, I get fucking dark. I get deep. She actually needs help.
Yeah. It seems like, well, just to answer the, does it give you, what is it? Advice or excuse to be a total dick? I mean,
yeah.
Having cancer is difficult, so it stands to reason that you'll be a little bit short with people because you're dealing with your own shit.
Right. It is difficult. Does it give you an excuse to be a dick? Let's say yes. Let's say it does.
Okay.
That said,
yeah.
Even though he's allowed to be a dick, he's your dad. You're allowed to give a lot of a shit about this.
Yeah.
So I would say that even though it's hard and you're fighting a lot, pedal to the metal, 100%. Do not give up because, like, the alternative is that your dad dies from going keto and you wish that you did more.
Yeah, it seems like he's maybe afraid of getting chemo and he's like, oh, this seems like a fine out. I can just not eat pasta.
Yeah.
That was easy.
You could maybe convince him to go to a therapist because then you're like, I'm not going to convince you to do any chemo. Just, I'm going to convince you to seek more opinions.
Yeah. Although it seems like every single person, I want to say have an intervention, but it seems like they already have had one in various stages, just not everybody at the same time.
Yeah. But maybe therapy is a helpful one, because like right now the choice is like chemo or keto. And those are the two things that he's deciding between. But give him one, like therapy, which goes with both chemo and keto, and might be able to get to the root of why he doesn't want to do the chemo.
Yeah, which is probably fear.
Which is probably fear. And you could also go hack into his email and just set up a filter for this Frenchman's email address so they can't communicate anymore.
Yeah, if this dad is anything like my dad, it should be easy. I'll have carte blanche access to all of his passwords. He'll text me saying he can't log into his mail, saying he has to set it up or like change it on his computer, his phone. Like, I have more access to his email than he does. So this should
really
be
interesting, because like your dad is a really smart guy. Do you think he doesn't get technology because he doesn't care? He doesn't want to?
Yeah, it's like he's already done learning all the shit. He's a physician. He knows how to deliver a baby. He doesn't also need to like deal with, all right, I forgot my password and now it has to be this specific kind of 12-digit alphanumeric. Oh, you didn't do a special character. And he's like, I think I'm done. Amir, you do my password. Email it to me and then I'll write it on a frickin' sticky and put it on my computer monitor.
And then I'll deliver a baby after that. You think your dad's going to deliver my children?
Not unless you're willing to move back to Los Angeles and see him in Santa Monica.
Well, that's possible.
Anything's in play to see Dr. Blumenfeld.
That would be a really beautiful thing.
It'd be an honor.
Anyway, that is the...
Name her Jasmine.
Yeah, I should. All right, that is the first half of our show. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah, yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp.
And we're back. Amir, do you have any?
On to Let's Do It This Way. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. I don't, but I did see recently that you did cryotherapy.
Oh, yes. That's where I went into a hyperbaric chamber and cried my eyes out, right?
Yeah. So what urged you and what was it good or was it like one of those snake oil salesman things where it didn't actually do anything?
So I'll tell you what happened. It had never occurred to me to do cryotherapy. It was a birthday gift, and it was a surprise birthday gift from my brother.
It seems like a good gift because you're always into like new medical schemes and dreams.
Yeah, I'm always down to see if some weird new therapy will heal my chronic foot pain. I'm game for that shit.
Yeah. Wait, real quick, what is cryotherapy for those of you who don't know?
Okay, I mean, I barely know, but you basically climb into a tube that they make really, really cold with, is it nitrogen? I think it's nitrogen.
Yeah, dry ice or something?
Whatever it is, the temperature goes down to like -200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Freezing.
You're in there for 3 minutes, super cold, and it's supposed to like help fight off random diseases, but it also helps with pain and inflammation. That was the reason that I went in there.
Okay.
You wear gloves, you wear socks and slippers and your underwear. And aside from that, you're in nothing. So your legs are bare, your chest is bare, arms are bare, back's bare. You get into a container that sort of, it's like a standing up tanning bed where your head is poking out the top. And then they just let her rip. It starts to get cold. You feel like, oh, I just jumped out of the ocean and there's a breeze. And then you're like, I just jumped out of a frozen lake and there's a bluster.
Yeah.
And then right by the end, you're like, this is too cold. I feel like I'm in pain. But then it's only like 20 seconds left. So you sort of just like tough it out.
So it's almost like a frog in boiling water. You don't get in and it's instantly the coldest you've ever been. It gets colder and colder and colder.
Right. And it's only 3 minutes, so you really can like mind over matter. You can do it. I was also in the room with Jill and Micah, so it was kind of funny. They're like distracting me.
Got it.
But it did. I mean, it was it. I'm not sure if it like felt really great after because it almost feels like, you know, going skydiving or something. You did something that was so far out of your comfort zone, and you lived, so you're like a little euphoric.
Uh huh.
But also, I didn't have a foot, or I've been having like random pain in my hands a little bit lately too. And it was, all my pain was gone for the day.
So, wait, what is your hand pain?
I don't fucking know, man. I really don't.
You're dying.
I think so.
Do you still have hand pain?
Yes. Yeah, I do. But it's not too bad.
Is it joints? Is it wrist? Is it the palm?
It's joints. And I guess it almost feels like I have arthritis or something. Like gripping, I can't make a really tight fist.
Got it.
I think like it started hurting, I think when I was like riding my bike too much, it almost seemed like I was gripping my handlebars too tight and they were just sore from that.
I see.
And then like going rock climbing, it hasn't like allowed them to heal.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be fine. It's not too bad.
Okay.
I appreciate your concern.
So overall, are you digging the cryo? Do you prefer it? What am I trying to say? Do you suggest? No. Recommend?
Recommend it?
Do you recommend it?
This is why I'm the fucking host now.
I'll actually delete that part out.
I would say that I recommend it at least once. I don't know if I'm going to keep on doing it because I since it was a gift, I also have no idea how much it costs. If it was like more than $50, I don't think I would do it again. But it does seem, it seems like a kind of fun thing to do, like almost in the way that like getting a manicure or a pedicure before you go on vacation. Like I would totally do this. I did this on my birthday to like feel really, really good throughout the day of my big party.
Got
you know?
It. Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's almost like a massage or a sauna, but in reverse.
Yeah. Would you ever try?
I guess I would try it, but it doesn't, I wonder if it actually does anything.
It's, yeah, I don't know. It could definitely be pseudoscience, but Tom Brady does it, so.
And he's chiseled as shit.
Yeah, and he's a Super Bowl winner.
And his hands probably don't hurt.
Maybe they do. You really never know.
Yeah. It kind of makes you, it shows you how impressive Tom Brady is at age 42 still playing NFL football.
I know, because then I it's crazy. And I like ride my bike over the Williamsburg Bridge and I have to take 2 weeks off.
Because your hands hurt.
Yeah. All right, that is the unsolicited advice. Let's get right back into the show. Amir, hit me with another girl's name.
Whoa, another girl's name.
This is Lady's Choice, baby. And are you like stalling? Because I told you just have these names ready to go. And I feel like you maybe just were like, oh, a girl's name because you weren't thinking of one.
Moana.
Great. All right. Moana writes, hey, Jake. Hi, Amir. So I've had a running problem with guys my whole life. Not that they don't like me, but as soon as I get into a relationship, they leave me for someone who is either mean or hardcore. I've had 3 out of 3 relationships end this way. The first two both broke up with me for my friend, so I know exactly how she flirted because she showed me the texts. She would flat out insult them. Not in the flirty, teasing way, but she would pick out their insecurities. One of my exes asked her out and she laughed in his face and told him he was far too short. This is how she does it. I don't get it. She has told me I need to start doing the same because guys like to feel frustrated, which I get, but when I like someone, I like to make them feel really good. I've always pictured myself in a relationship where we are so comfortable we don't need to play games like that. Should I start bitchy teasing or continue being sweet in the hopes the right partner comes along? Thanks a million, Moana.
You have to be a bitchy tease, whether that's you being yourself or not. The end game, the goal of dating is that everyone is just becomes a nasty version of themselves until we all die. All that
shit. So like in an ideal world.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, everyone's breaking up with everyone for someone else who's been mean to them and they are really upset and mad. And then someone else is even meaner and they're like, oh, you make me even sadder. I should be with you, et cetera, ad infinitum.
Yeah, meaner, madder, greener, sadder. Everyone's recycling but bummed because at the end of the day, they're all getting teased about their shortcomings, their insecurities. If they're shorter than average, that will be brought up. If their teeth aren't straight, that won't be good to them. Thin hair, do care, constantly scare. Yes. Why are you bad in any regard?
In any regard. Did you notice that she's had 3 of her relationships end this way, and 2 of them her friends stole? Like... Doesn't it almost seem like you don't have to be a bitch to guys? You have to not be friends with this lady who keeps on stealing your boyfriends.
They like bad bitches. That's their fucking problem.
That is a fucking problem. But this is crazy. And like this friend was like, she showed me the text and she said he was too short. Like that is, she was flirting with your boyfriends.
I think sweet people attract sweet mates. I've seen couples where I'm like, oh, both of these people are very sweet. They probably didn't play any nasty, mean games to each other. And then you see couples that are both too cool for school, constantly ribbing and being sarcastic because they were also themselves and they created a situation where they attracted the other type of person.
Yes, the best thing you can do is be yourself. Because I think even if you're not mean and you try to be mean to like get someone to like you, it's not going to be authentic. Also, definitely stop being friends with this friend of yours.
She She's not a friend. Hey, you know what? She's such a nasty bee that she's not only attracting guys, but this lady. It's working for you.
What do you mean?
That's yeah. right.
Oh, like...
I'm saying that Moana is even falling into her trap.
I see. Yes, yes. She's mean. It's right. She's not just mean to your exes. She's mean to everyone. Most of all, you. And for some reason, she's your best friend.
This is like that thing, The Game. Do you think there's any... honesty and truth to this theory that negging makes people into you?
I mean, there must be. I know it works on me, so it's definitely possible. But
wait, you like when ladies are mean to you when they flirt with you?
Not like fully mean, but I think that like you know, having to win someone over is definitely a fun part of the game.
Yeah, but do they win you over by being mean to you?
It really depends, because I've definitely had people who try to be mean to me, and I'm just like, I don't have time for this. I don't care. I guess, actually, it's probably less about the actual attitude and more about the person. Like, if I like somebody just based on their physical appearance, they could be mean to me, and I would be like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then if I don't like someone off the bat, I don't feel chemistry, and they're mean to me. That wouldn't change anything.
Yeah. There's also an idea that maybe negging and stuff attracts people short term, but not for the long haul. And it seems like you're more interested in the long haul.
Right. If you're, she says, I've always pictured myself in a relationship where we're comfortable and we don't need to play games.
Yeah.
That's like, then don't try to play games, because then you'll just be with someone who likes games.
That's right. If you want to play games, you'll attract a player.
That's very true. So take our advice, Moana. Let's read our final question, which comes from a guy. No longer Lady's Choice. My perfect game is over.
Okay. A dude we'll call Al-Adin.
Why? Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Very nice. Al-Adin writes, Shalom. I love the show, Jake and Amir, Lonely and Horny, and the podcast network. Thanks, brah. Here's my problem. Me and my girlfriend met on Tinder and have been going out for 3 months. However, recently we both picked up an extra shift at work and our days off rarely line up. If they do, we're too tired to actually want to do something. We don't talk as much, and when we do, it feels like I'm making the effort. A few days ago, a girl I made out with in college posted a video of her ribbon dancing on Instagram.
Hot.
We stayed friendly after college, but haven't spoken in the last 2 years. We also live in different cities, and a quick Facebook check showed me she just started dating a guy a month ago. But that ribbon dancing video, she looked so hot. I couldn't not message her. So we get to chatting, and our conversation is a rapid back and forth, that fun, flirty, but innocent texting about where we are in life and what's going on kind of thing. And eventually, the conversation ends up at strip clubs. She says she would be interested in seeing a male strip show, and I impulsively tell her that if she ever comes out west, that we should go to the Magic Mike show in Vegas. She thinks this is a great idea, and we talk a little bit more before she goes to sleep. I have a girlfriend. She has a boyfriend. Can a guy and a girl go to Vegas together as friends? Should I really do this, or am I asking for trouble? I want to go, but also recognize it might be a huge mistake, but I also want to go. I know if I go and we get drunk, I will try something. I might act like I won't, but deep down I know, so I'm not going to try and lie to you. Toda, Al-Adin.
Yeah, I think if you're in a relationship, you can't get drunk and go to Vegas and then go to a strip show with a member of the opposite sex that you made out with in college and still have a crush on and think is hot due to a rhythmic gymnastics video.
I would agree with that. I also love the sentence, I want to go, but also recognize it might be a huge mistake, but I also want to go.
It sounds like that's two votes for going.
It's just a run of I want to goes with a tiny little this is a bad idea in the middle.
No.
Go ahead.
And it opens with this is why me and my girlfriend don't really make sense if you think about it.
Yeah. I would say regardless, I mean, you might as well not cheat on your girlfriend, because it sounds like you guys should break up with or without this ribbon dancing thing.
Yeah. Between like, she has to pick up an extra shift at work, and it's just like the most boring, mundane, shitty relationship stuff. And then it's like, but this other chick does rhythmic gymnastics and wants to party in Vegas with me.
By the way, not rhythmic gymnastic, it's ribbon dancing. Okay.
Isn't that the same shit?
I don't fucking know, dude. I don't think so. Ribbon dancing doesn't sound like it's as hard. I don't know for a fact, but I do pretty much know for a fact that I would be good at ribbon dancing.
Really?
Like, what do you have to do? You just, it's all the ribbon.
You're saying anybody can ribbon dance well because the ribbon is cheating. Show me a good dancer sans ribbon.
Yeah, rhythmic gymnastics is actually hard. Ribbon dance, that's like, I'm just going to search ribbon dancing very quickly.
I think rhythmic gymnastics is like the ribbon, but also a ball.
Oh, I
see. So you got the ribbon, you got the ball.
Interesting. So I looked up ribbon dancing, and on the side from Wikipedia, it says ribbon and then rhythmic gymnastics. So maybe they are related.
Okay, so how about this question for you? If you were a single man and somebody's like, I want to set you up with a friend of mine who's an Olympic athlete, what do you think the hottest Olympic event would be for that person to compete in? Like, what are you hoping for at that point?
Don't you remember when I went on the date with the Olympian?
Oh, right. The Winter Olympian, right?
Yeah, no more specifics. Knock it off.
Wasn't she a loser?
Quit it. Quit it. That's enough.
Oh, you know, no, she did a biathlon, right?
What's the one where you do the skiing and shooting?
Yeah, that was her, biathlon.
That was biathlon? All right, yeah, that's biathlon. She was a biathlist.
Yeah.
I guess I would probably hope for, God, they're all so gorgeous. Track and field.
Oh, really? You just want a fucking sprinter.
Yeah. Strong legs. Damn.
Too late. You got a fucking shot putter.
Fine.
It's Steven Adams' sister. She's 6'5", 240, and can throw you the length of a football field.
Honestly, great. Just, I don't care who you are. You're strong and fucking powerful. Crush me, please.
What about a diver? High diver.
That'd be great, too. There's truly no Olympian that I wouldn't be in love with, just like based entirely on the fact that they might have been around Michael Phelps once.
What about dressage? So it's not quite horse racing. You're just sort of riding a horse as it does interesting leans and jumps.
Yeah, I guess that would be pretty fine. Who's your favorite dressagist?
Probably Alyssa Milano from Canada.
Really?
Why? Are you not into her?
No, I think that like she's pretty cool. But I prefer I can't find one, sorry.
Yeah, and not like in my Wi-Fi doesn't work. I think in like a it doesn't exist type of one.
They're just like all too good.
They're all tied for first.
What's yours?
Sport that I want someone to be Olympic medalist.
Yeah.
Diving would be pretty cool. Swimming would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
What about a pole vaulter? That's really hard to pull off.
To pull off.
Nice. What did we tell this person to do?
I forget what the question even is. Oh, yeah. Break up with your girlfriend.
Can a guy and a girl go to Vegas together as friends? No.
No.
Should I really do this or am I asking for trouble? Asking for trouble.
Yeah.
I want to go, but I also recognize I'm making a huge mistake, but I also want to go.
Go. You can go. Like, everything that you're worried about is solved if you break up with your girlfriend, which, based on the first paragraph, you want to do.
Yeah. It sounds like it's in the cards anyway. This was a leading question.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you are... It's just like, if I go, I'm going to try to hook up with her. So is that a mistake? Is that okay? Like, even if you didn't hook up with her, even if you guys were just like, went to Vegas to see a strip show and came back, that's also not fine to do while you're in a relationship. Nope. Like, it's also not fine to DM her based on this video. None of it is fine.
All of it had to be done in secretive.
Yeah. Like,
all of it had to be a secret.
You might as well just not. If you're not in a relationship, you can do anything you want.
Wait a minute. If you're single, you could do anything you want.
Yes, exactly.
So you can go to Vegas or not.
Including go on a date with Ulla Salzgeber, a German equestrian and Olympic champion of dressage.
We know who Ulla is.
Okay, I'm just saying, you could really go on a date with Ulla if you were single.
She sounds Icelandic.
She's German. Okay, she's not Icelandic. Anyway, break up with your girlfriend. Thank you, Aladdin. Thank you, Amir. This has been If I Were You. If you've got any theme songs or questions, send them over to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Our first song was obviously from Wheatus themselves, and if not Wheatus, then I think it was a guy from Strong Persuaders, from Shane. Remember, check them out on Spotify. Our closing theme song, I couldn't find one, so I figure I'll just fucking close it out myself, because I feel like that's what the host does.
No, host finds two theme songs. That's part of the deal. You find.
Well, I couldn't find two.
Okay. So what's the plan
here? I couldn't find two. So I'm going to close it out because I feel like a host just gets the job done.
Okay. So what's...
Okay.
Yeah. What's it?
I'll just...
Do you have an instrument? Are you going to go a cappella?
I don't have an instrument. Okay. I don't have an instrument. I'll go a cappella. You can auto-tune it in post if you want to make it sound really good. Okay. Well, that's only if you want to make it sound really good. It can definitely be pretty good. Hell, I came up with a friggin' original theme song of this show. Remember?
Yeah.
Episode one?
Yeah, yeah.
That's me. So I can do that shit. All right. This is the end of the show. The show is over. That's been If I Were You, hosted by Jake and his friend who is a Jew. All right. The end.
I hated that.
Same.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.